almost imperceptible, the way they gain their ground. They'll steal an inch just to take a mile every time you turn around. They assassinate our liberties and cause me sleepless nights. Every time they pass another firearms law, they assault my Bill of Rights. As they plead for public safety and they press on towards their goal, I say the Brady Bill is a stab in the back in the fight for gun control. 'Cause I'm a fight to keep alive freedom in the Bill of Rights, native-born American. Who's gonna rise and take a stand, draw a line in the sand, hold the line till kingdom come. So if they ever try to legislate, send the troops to confiscate before the dirty deed gets done, somebody's blood on down the street might run. If they ever try to come and take my gun, no, they better never try to come and take my gun. They better leave our guns alone. Is it more than just coincidence whenever Congress takes the hill? How the blood just spews from the even to new before they pass another bill. And it's an insult to my senses when I read the New York Times, how the truth gets buried on the very back page, somewhere there between the lines. Well, there's a method to their madness, and the media's there too. And do they really think that I'm truly that dumb to be played for such a fool? Well, I'm a fight to keep alive freedom in the Bill of Rights, native-born American. Who's gonna rise and take a stand, draw a line in the sand, hold the line till kingdom come? So if they ever try to legislate, send the troops to confiscate before the dirty deed gets done, well, somebody's blood on down the street might run. If they ever try to come and take my gun, no, they better never try to come and take my gun. Just leave our liberty teeth alone. They tell me that I'm paranoid, I see things that aren't there. While they flood the country full of aliens, there's crime and trouble everywhere. They say they have to take my guns away to save me from myself. Am I a threat to national security or their one world commonwealth? Well, here's one thing they don't tell you that they don't want you to know. When a tyrant finally gets a hold of your guns, that's when he takes control. Well, I'm a die to keep alive freedom in the Bill of Rights, native-born American. Who's gonna rise and take a stand, draw a line in the sand, hold the line till kingdom come? So if they ever try to legislate, send the troops to confiscate before the dirty deed gets done, well, somebody's blood on down the street might run. If they ever try to come and take my gun, said they better never try to come and take my gun. They better leave our guns alone. 'Cause I've got an inalienable right to defend myself, and it's backed up by the Second Amendment of the United States Constitution. No, they better never try to come and take my gun. They better leave our guns alone. You can't have my gun, but I might share with you a few of my bullets. Yeah, no, they better never ever. No, they better never ever. No, they better never ever try to come and take my gun. Just leave them guns alone.
Yibarecha Yahweh Vayish Marecha Yisa Yahweh Panava Yair Yahweh Panava Elecha Vichu necha. Yisayawa panav elecha vayesem lecha shalom. Yahweh bless thee and keep thee. Yahweh make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
In God we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are endowed with inalienable rights of life and precious liberty, the pursuit of happiness. On these we now take aim and set our sights. Like sleeping watchmen on the wall, we have failed to heed the signs of usurping foreign powers within our land, letting fraud, deceit, and usury be the curse of these hard times. Now won't you heed this wake-up call and lend a hand and be a part of the solution and restore our Constitution. Play your part in reclaiming our nation. Join the second American Revolution today. In the spirit of our ancestors who refused to live in chains, we now must cast our eyes on liberty's light. For the blood spilled by our forefathers still flows within our veins, and we shall not live as slaves without a fight. Like soldiers we must stand and face this enemy within, and do what we must do to seize the time. For in order to defend and exercise our liberties, we now must place our liberty on the line and be a part of the solution and restore our Constitution. Play your part in reclaiming our nation. Join the second American Revolution today. Be a part of the solution and restore system. A second American Revolution today.
Shed many a tear, and when they sit down to cry, they never question or try to find an answer. That's the way it's been for oh so long, and you're so used to it you don't see what's wrong. It's in your history, and if you just look you'll see that it's repeating. When lawyers' litigation goes without examination, you can bet that it won't take very long. With rules and regulations and without representation, pretty soon you'll sing a slavery song. No, go ahead and go your own merry way, but I can tell you that you'll soon curse the day you will you'll learn the hard way. So how can you get someone to hear when their ears are filled with self-imposed fear? If there's a voice in the crowd that shouts a message out loud, will someone listen? And how can you get someone to see when they can't bring themselves to turn off TV? If someone turns on a light, will others join in the fight or turn a blind eye? When your country's education doesn't teach about your nation, how your family fought so hard to be free, it creates a situation and promotes perpetuation of a people who will live on their knees. No, go ahead and go your own merry way, but I can tell you that you'll soon curse the day. You were asleep at the wheel, you didn't care what was real, you'll learn the hard way. Education doesn't teach about your nation, how your family fought so hard to be free. It creates a situation and promotes perpetuation of a people who will live on their knees. No, go ahead and know your own merry way, but I can tell you that you'll soon curse the day. You've been asleep at the wheel, you didn't care what was real, you'll learn the hard way. Will someone listen? Or turn a blind eye.
Light me a cigarette, pour me some anise, 'cause tonight I gotta get her off my mind. Put on some Nat King Cole or a little lady's soul, 'cause tonight I gotta get her off my mind. So she some anise, 'cause tonight get her off my mind. So she won't matter anymore. No, she won't matter anymore.
I sing, oh, Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design radio broadcast for the 31st day of July, year 2022. I am your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's broadcast is discernment. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, or Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the broadcast, Prinhanda, Cumriambeth. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together, no spaces. And we do draw your attention to the Daily Mail page, where we keep updates and current event information there, also research material and health information. On the home page is information if you care to make a donation or to help us out. And also there is the Contact Us page, where you can reach me if you don't have my personal contact information. If you're interested in the latest developments to, we call it organized, but it's basically an administrative function for the militia in the United States, you can go to Righteous Army, and that's all together, righteousarmy.org. And we also ask that you keep those efforts in your prayers, since these are perilous times and there are many people that are out to do harm to those who are telling the truth or trying to right the wrongs that are in this world. So keep the people involved in that in your prayers and in your thoughts. Support if you can, but however you're led by the Father. So anyway, I'm going to take this idea of discernment. I'm going to use to start off with, we're going to use this verse, and then we're going to go to an article that was written by Jordan Sather on July 29th of this year. But in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, to see whether they are from Yahweh God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world." And again, prophets comes from the Greek word prophetes. So in the Old Testament times and in the New, a prophet was a person who represented the will of the Father to the people. The priest's job was to present the people to Yahweh God. We no longer need priests because we have a direct relationship with our Father. However, the job of the prophet to remind the people and to bring forth Yahweh's thoughts and wishes and His will to the people, that job is still there. A lot of people think that there's no reason for a prophet anymore. Well, take a look around you. This world looks pretty sick and demented to me. So apparently the people have lost their senses, and therefore it is the job of the prophet, much like Ezekiel and the others, and in the latter days, according to Malachi anyway, he will raise up Elijah once again to remind the people of our Heavenly Father and that relationship and what is the duty of we, His sons and daughters, particularly His sons in these latter days. So again, it tells us here that we are to have good discernment, but we are to test everything. There's a saying going out right now, trust but verify. Okay, trust whatever sources you think are worthy of it, but verify everything. And that includes what you hear here. Okay? Because, again, nobody's infallible. Nobody. Now, you would trust the intentions, let's say, of this station or others like it. The intentions are good. They want to bring forth truth and honesty and discernment to our brothers and sisters. But again, nobody walking this earth is perfect. That's why he wants us to work together as a family and as a team. So with that in mind, again, I'm going to take some highlights here. I'm not going to read the whole article. It's also going to be located on the Daily Mail page of my website, PastorDan.net. And there'll be a link there to this short article called 10 Tips for Better Discernment with Current Events and Conspiracy Theories. Arming yourself with good critical thinking skills is crucial to be successful in this information war. Now, whether you like Jordan or not, he's an intelligent young man, and I think he makes a lot of sense in this article. And we're just going to, again, hit the highlights here. But in the first paragraph, he says that discernment is defined as the ability to judge well. And now, more than ever, we desperately need to hone our judgment skills in order to combat the incredible amount of fake news coming from the mainstream media, science, and religious establishment, and from the clickbait disinformation disseminated through conspiracy theory culture. If only we were taught proper critical thinking skills during our time in grade school, though it's quite foolish for us to expect our government to arm our minds with the tools necessary to keep ourselves sovereign and free. It is in their best interest not to. They like to teach us what to think, not how to think, otherwise known as brainwashing. So we must take it upon ourselves to strengthen our discernment. It's often said or thought that discernment is something given to us by an outside force, such as in pray for discernment. And to this I disagree. We must be active in the practice. Remember the biblical verse, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." It's not given, it's built, honed, forged through research, experience, and practical knowledge. Does our discernment get better? And we can choose to strengthen all of these qualities. We must take responsibility for ourselves and our own mental acuity to break free from the mental shackles that dark forces upon this earth are trying to keep us in. By getting ourselves physically, mentally, and spiritually stronger, do we have a fighting chance against these principalities and can defeat the disinformation and manipulation plaguing our world? Does that sound familiar? We've talked about that for how long on here? Get yourselves physically, mentally, and spiritually stronger. An unhealthy person is not a good warrior. An unhealthy person does not have the intestinal fortitude to seek the truth and to fight against evil. That's why they want you sick, so that you're always depressed, you're always weak, both in the mind and in the spirit. So I'm going to run down through the 10 and just hit the highlights of what he said here, and then we'll talk about some other things here and go into some scripture. But number one is be mindful of your emotions. Okay, this especially is for the ladies out there because they are extremely emotional-driven individuals. And even for the men, especially the effeminate men. We talked about the verse in there that talks about in the latter days that there would be those who creep in and subdue a household, taking advantage of weak-willed women. That word in the Greek language stands for women and effeminate men, or effeminate men. All right. So in the Greek language, again, the scriptures were written in Greek, and when they're transposed into English, much is lost. So even in the day when preachers taught a little more from Scripture rather than the headquarters of that denomination sending out what they'll teach, they used to talk about things such as that. We often talk about the fact that in the 1600s, to be a preacher in the colonies here in North America, you had to attend William and Mary College or one similar to it, which were seminaries back in that time, and you had to be able to read, write, speak, and debate in ancient Koine Greek. Koine is Greek for common, so common or street Greek. And this is why. That's a critical point. Everybody reads that New Testament verse and thinks that the admonition there is against the ladies only. And yet in the Greek, it is not only the ladies, but the effeminate men. And we have a lot of effeminate men. So again, be mindful of your emotions. Don't let your emotions take control, because the enemy knows that. The enemy formulates its propaganda and its marketing. Now remember, marketing and propaganda go hand in hand. One's trying to sell you a product, the other one's trying to sell you an idea. So the tools that the marketers use fit with the propagandists hand in glove, okay? It's exactly the same. And that's why Edward Bernays, the Jew, is considered the father of propaganda. No, it wasn't the Germans of World War II. Edward Bernays lived long before World War II. And he wrote the books on marketing and controlling the herd mind, known as propaganda. Okay, so the father of propaganda was a Jew, Edward Bernays, who happens to be related to the other propagandist and mind manipulator known as Sigmund Freud, where they came up with a pseudoscience called psychology and psychiatry. It's a pseudoscience. It's bullshit. All right. If you need help with your spiritual state or your mental state, that's what prayer is all about. That's what a spiritual cleansing is all about. You don't go to some shyster and sit on a couch and spill your guts out to him while he's taking notes. It's exactly the same thing as the Catholic Church, another Jewish organization. Yeah, if you don't know that, you need to go back and do your homework. It's the same principle there of confession to the priest. What better way to get intel on your congregation? Find out what who's laying with who and who's stealing from who and what their innermost thoughts are. They're talking to this priest, and if they foolishly think the priest is going to keep that confidential, you're crazy. Dumber than a box of rocks. So you see how they go hand in hand, okay? So they come up with this nonsense, psychiatry. It's the same idea. We can't get them in the church anymore because people are starting to figure out the Catholic Church is full of crap. And so we'll get them to lay on a couch and talk to a psychiatrist, as if the psychiatrist knows what the hell they're doing. They're there to collect information on you and to also put you on drugs. Number two, identify sources and their legitimacy. Okay? Part of the reason we're in the trouble we're in is obviously because we trusted the so-called trusted voices known as government and media. And I know for a fact that that's true because my own parents and I disagreed on many things, and part of that reason was that I distrust media. My parents grew up at a time in the 20s and 30s where the average person trusted that the government and media would tell you the truth. That was to our chagrin. We should never trust the media or the government, either one. Never, ever, ever. So identify sources and their legitimacy. Number three, question basic assumptions. Our society is built with illusion upon illusion. So we must set our egos aside and question even our own basic assumptions about what we think we know. Number four, search for other opinions. Okay? In other words, get you know, it's like when you go to the mechanic and he tells you something you're just not quite sure is right about your car, or you go to the doctor and he's recommending a surgery or a drug, and inside your gut is telling you, man, there's something wrong with this. So what do? You get another opinion. And okay, what's the basis for that? Oh, that's right. It's in the Bible, isn't it? Oh, that's right. In the counsel of many, there is victory. Do you remember reading that verse? Ella, yes, it is. I just had the other page up because I'm reading something off another page. So, yeah, your information is coming through. Thank you. So, you know, in the counsel of many, not the counsel of one or just two, in the counsel of many. And I praise the Father that even as a boy, I followed that proverb, and when I had a tough decision to make in my life, I would seek out the counsel of family and friends, as many as I could find, the ones that I thought had my best interests at heart and that I thought would be honest with me. So you just don't go up to like 10 strangers and ask them opinion. You want to go for the people that appeared to you anyway to have level heads, they're rational, they're conscientious, and they're going to have your best interests at heart. Go to them for advice, again, in the counsel of many. So that was number four. Number five, remember that you do not know what you do not know. The knowns are either the things we're aware of and understand, or things we are aware of but do not understand. The unknowns are the things we understand but are not aware of, or the things we are neither aware of nor understands. Wrap your head around that one. Exactly. And there's another old adage out there that says something to the effect of, you know, it's not what we don't know that harms us. It's what we know that just ain't so. Okay? It's not what you don't know or your ignorance that's going to do you the most harm. It's what you think to be true that's just not true. Number six, even experts can be misled. On one hand, it might be good to seek out the opinion of experts in the field as described in point number four above, but it should be noted that just because someone is identified as a, quote, expert or a, quote, doctor or has a PhD by their name and has a fancy diploma or a license, etc., that does not make them all-knowing or an all-knowing authority on a subject, also known as a subject matter expert. We used to use that term. SME, subject matter expert in the nuclear industry all the time. And years later, of course, you find out a lot of them aren't so good. They're not actually experts at all. They're just carrying forth the narrative. Number seven, know your logical fallacies. Okay? That one is sort of, I'll just read that one. It's a short one here, according to Jordan anyway. Find a list of logical fallacies and memorize it. Knowing how to identify these fallacies in one's argument can go a long way in spotting when their argument is failing, and knowledge of them can also help you strengthen your own arguments. While names vary, commonly known and used logical fallacies include the straw man fallacy, the appeal to authority, the burden of proof fallacy, ad hominem arguments, circular arguments, and the bandwagon fallacy, and others. Number eight, demand details. Now, that's the problem I have with a lot of people, and I've had it for a very long time. Folks just take little sound bites and run with it. They don't get the details. I've seen it at work. I've seen it in society, and I've seen it in the news and even at church. the preacher will get up there and give you one or two verses and take off on a tangent completely outside the context if you read the whole chapter. You remember, scripture in the beginning was on scrolls. We call them books today because that's, they're bound in books, but in ancient times it was scrolls, long pieces of parchment, and they rolled it up into a scroll, and that's what they kept it. And that scroll had writing from one side clear to the other, and it might be 15 feet long. And in that scroll, it was continuous writing. They did not divide it by chapter and verse. That was done much, much later. So this whole idea that you can take one, two, three verses and get the whole idea is ludicrous. It'd be like picking up a novel and flipping through the pages and taking a sentence or two out of the middle and think that you've got the whole story. It's the same idea. You need to read the whole story. And in the modern times, we need to read scripture, all of the evidence that was presented by our ancestors, and much of it is not found in the Catholic version of the Bible. And remember, the word Bible comes from the Greek word biblos, which just means book. That's all it means, book. So Bible comes from the Greek word that means a book. And the Bible was one of the very first mass-produced books in the world. And so therefore, when people referred to the book, they just sort of knew they were talking about the common book or the Bible. And we ended up using the term Bible. So, again, the Catholic Church had a lot to say about what we got to see in the book or Bible, and we know that that's a criminal organization. So, our ancestors left us a lot of evidence in other extra-biblical writings, and we need to do the research. So, as this says in number 8, demand details. We need the details. Don't give me just little thumbnail sketches or little sound bites and expect me to follow along, because that's not the way we're supposed to do it. Number 9, the 24-hour rule. In this word or world of clickbait culture, too many mainstream, alternative, and independent journalists value being first over waiting to get their facts straight about a story, because they prioritize getting the shares and likes on their posts rather than having content with substance. Okay? So again, quantity over quality, which is wrong. It should be quality over quantity. And every now and then, all of us are guilty of sending something out to our email lists, etc., that we later find out we should have waited. We're all guilty of that, because we're near the end of this struggle and the end of this age, and so we're anxious for any news that we get, especially if we think it's positive or could help somebody. We want to get it out there right away. We sometimes forget this 24-hour rule or the idea that wait till you verify. Now, I've gotten better at it. There's been a lot of stories and a lot of information sent to me that I put on the shelf, and I'm glad I did, because I found out from friends and personal contacts that the information contained in that article or that piece was not completely accurate. So I believe we all, including myself, need to adhere to the 24-hour rule, or at least the idea that you might want to sleep on something, unless you know 100% that it's true. In other words, if you were the eyewitness that was there, or you are like dead certain, okay, now you, and the information is time critical. You might have better discernment to say that the people need this information, and I have a nearly 100% good feeling that it's accurate. that might be an exception. But other than that, if it's news, it can usually wait 24 to 48 hours. Let it settle. Let it sink in. Let corroborating evidence come in to support it. Because, again, misinformation and lies are not going to help any of us out, especially today. We need truth, even if it's only one piece of truth a day, out of all the mountains of information that's out there. If it's just one little piece of truth that you can add to your basket of truths, things that you can hang your hat on, truths, because Yeshua didn't say information will set you free. He said the truth will set you free. And so it's incumbent upon you and I and the content creators out there to be as truthful, honest and sincere as possible in whatever you're putting out, and including anything that you generate yourself if you're a content creator or you're just putting your own thoughts on paper and you're going to share it with folks. Double check yourself. And another thing, while we're talking about that, a lot of people are putting things out there. Please, folks, proofread your content before you send it out, would you? I've gotten some stuff that's atrocious from people that are highly respected in our ranks that their writings are full of typos, typographical errors. We call them in the business typos. Okay? It takes away from the credibility and usability of your material if it's full of grammatical and spelling errors. So take a few moments. When I was a young man in school, one of the things they taught me that they were very accurate about was you never send the first draft out. And back then, we didn't have computers. We wrote letters. And they would teach us that you should draft your letter first. Draft it. Rough draft is what we used to call it. Rough draft whatever your article or personal letter was on a piece of paper, an outline form or whatever, and then start to fill it in and write it. But even then, before you send it out, once you think it's ready to go, either yourself or somebody you trust, have them proofread it for spelling errors and grammatical errors, and does what you're saying make sense, things such as that. In other words, put a little thought into it. Just don't become emotional and throw a bunch of words on paper and send it out. Okay, we have to be the leaders at this time. Those of us who know the Father above and know each other, know something of real history or historicity versus this make-believe matrix version of the world. We're finding out more and more about the fact that we have been lied to almost 99% of what you were taught in school is complete bullshit. I mean, it's astounding how much we've been lied to, whether it's in the area of history or health or science or the cosmos. They've lied to us about everything. It's time that we wake up, come up out of that slumber. Number 10, and the last one, it says, use different search tools. And according to Jordan, he says here, my search tools, I mean more than just search engines like Google or DuckDuckGo, but using a variety of tools like reverse image searching, web archives, and search functions on social media platforms. Okay, these are tools in your basket of discernment to go around the controls, because you got to remember, the enemy is not hiring or using always the sharpest tools in the shed. Okay, they're basically sycophants or tools of the elitists, and they'll do whatever they're told to do because somebody's putting money in their pocket. Now, the downside of that for the elitists is the fact that you're going to get a bunch of people that are not very well motivated and really not all that sharp. Because people with high IQs and who have good discernment, a lot of times they have also scruples. So the wicked don't. But generally speaking, people of higher IQ and are able to discern the truth, they're going to have more scruples about things, and therefore money is not going to buy them off, not like they can these trolls and IDF individuals and all that troll sites and put out misinformation. So that's the good news. They've got scumbags, morons, toads, lackeys, lapdogs doing their bidding for them, and they're usually not the sharpest. Whereas the good guys, we have the very sharp individuals on our side, for the most part. Again, that's not a rule that goes across the board completely, but in general, good guys don't care about money. As Mike Brown said in the interview I did with him many years ago, there are two kinds of men in this world, merchants and warriors. Now, the category I first mentioned, which is the little toads and morons out there that will take shekels from the elitists and do their bidding, they're merchants. They'll do whatever they have to do to get money, because they worship money. They're idolaters in the scripture. They worship gold and silver or money and the things money buys. Where the warriors do not. The only thing that matters to warriors are their truth and their family. So merchants do everything for money and the things money buys, where warriors do everything for women and what women represent, which is children, family, the future, the home. That's what warriors fight for. They don't care about materialistic things very much. They care more about the intangibles, the things that really matter in this world, much as the scripture tells us. So again, if you want to read that whole article, I'm going to put a link to it later today up on the Daily Mail page, 10 Tips for Better Discernment. If you can't get to the website and you email me, I'll be glad to send it to you. Now, I'm going to get into some verses that have to do with discernment, but I was sent a song, excuse me, I was sent a song by a brother. In fact, he's the brother that led me on the path to discover identity many years ago. And out of the blue, he sent me this song today, and I wanted to share it with you. And it's called A Hard Rain. Now, you got to have a little discernment as you listen to this. It's a short song, but the words of the song, I think, reflect the attitude of the warriors that are out there amongst our people. So bear with me, and let's listen to this real quick.
Oh, I watched you beat my blue-eyed son. And I watched you kill that darling young one. I have left the nice suburbs and fled to the mountains. I've been held up and delayed by fellas on highways. Better heed this warning, my patience is dwindling. Each new crime reported just adds more kindling. Now we're all waking up and we're watching you closely. All of you impotent leaders, oh, you will pay dearly. And there's a heart, there's a heart, there's a heart, a heart. Gonna fall. Oh, what did you do, my blue-eyed son? Your dipshit teacher said you hate everyone. The fellas surround like wild wolves all around him. And if we don't push back, our bright future looks quite grim. I saw a black man with blood on his knife. The more you ignore, the more risk on your life. Our leaders try to disarm us and tell us to kneel. Well, the barrel of my 38 will see you in hell. Well, you called out the thunder and now you've got it. And it's a heart, a heart, a heart. There's a heart, a heart rate's gonna fall. And there's a heart, a heart, a heart. There's a heart, a heart rain gonna fall.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that. It's a hard rain going to fall. I believe that the analogy there could be very well taken into Obadiah verse 18 and Ezekiel 25 verse 14. There is a hard rain, a rain of fire, in the scriptures anyway, going to fall upon the heads of the wicked. So this song fits in very much with these words of the prophets that said that some point the sons of the Most High will have their righteous indignation burn within them to where they pick up their swords and decide to rain hell and fire and brimstone down upon the heads of the unrighteous, the wicked, the evil, the perverse that walk amongst us. So, hallelujah to that. Okay, I got some more verses I want to share with you here. Before we give up on this topic of discernment, we can go to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. But solid food is for the mature, meaning the harder things of Scripture, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. So this goes along with what Jordan Sather said in his article. Okay? So if you want the solid food of Scripture, the truths of our Heavenly Father, if you want Him to reveal the harder things, the more intense things, you have to be ready for solid food instead of baby food or pablum, as Scripture says. And that solid food, that meaty information, is given to those who have proper powers of discernment. Philippians 1, 9 through 10. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge, meaning truth, and all discernment, so that you may approach what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Messiah. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of Yahweh God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. He gives us the tools, ladies and gentlemen. We just have to put them into practice. In other words, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this your great people? So again, discernment between good and evil is a requirement. Romans 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of Yahweh God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. James chapter 1 verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask Yahweh God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. In other words, ask and ye shall receive. We are in perilous times. We've talked about that on this program many, many times. You must have good discernment at this time. We are in an ocean of lies and misinformation about virtually everything, thanks to electronic media that can pound your head and your ears with fake and phony information 24 hours a day. So in this ocean of lies and misinformation, we find that we are also at the same time in a famine for truth. So they go hand in hand, don't they? An ocean or a gigantic body of misinformation and a very tiny amount of truth. Because most people don't care about the truth. The preachers don't care about telling the truth. Your government certainly does not tell the truth. The news media couldn't tell the truth if you put a gun up against their head. The medical mafia, we have found out that they do not care about truth at all. So you've got these major institutions, and certainly organized religion doesn't have an ounce of truth in it either. So at this point in time, it's becoming quite apparent to a vast number of people. I think we're close to at least 33%. 33% of the people can see through the lies and deceptions, and they can see the truth of what's going on. There's another 33%, or one-third, if you will, that are in the middle somewhere. Their stomach, their gut is telling them something isn't quite right, but they can't quite discern yet. They haven't repented. They haven't sought out our Heavenly Father and His wisdom in their life. And so they're relying on secular sources for information, which are difficult to come by. So they're in the middle. Some of them will come to a knowledge of the Father and the truth and repentance, true repentance and reform. Others will either stay lukewarm or ice cold, and they will fall into the pit with the wicked. And then you have about a third, or 33%, that are absolute degenerate, pervert, good-for-nothing individuals walking this earth, which the prophets told us about, by the way. They said a third of mankind will survive, a third. Now, is that strictly the Adamic people, or is that all people? It doesn't really say. So it's either our people, only a third are going to make it, or a third of all those on the face of the earth. And again, these are rough numbers, etc. And you can kind of see that in the world around you, can you not? You're lucky if you find a third out there that's got their head screwed on right as far as the truth of this world and all matters of faith and things such as that. You're lucky if you can find 33%. And then there is another group in the middle. Probably at this point in time, it's bigger than 33% in the middle somewhere. And then you have the absolute reprobates on the other end of the scale, and they are just beyond redemption. They are those that Christ referred to as being condemned already. Okay? Condemned already. In John chapter 7, verse 24, do not judge by appearances, but judge with right or righteous judgment. In other words, don't be fooled by soft words or somebody with a nice pretty suit on and a big smile or a nice gown or business suit for the ladies out there. Don't go by appearances. I mean, that's how the world got deceived by Fauci and Birx, even though they're both reprobates. The world took the images on the screen because they appeared to be well-dressed, well-educated individuals, when in fact they're criminals. Both of them are absolute criminals, and they're actually not very smart. I would put them in the category of low IQ. They're just card readers. They're just front men for the cabal to do the dirty deeds. Why? Because they're being paid well to do it. They're being paid to stand out there in front of the camera and do the dirty deeds of the ultra-rich Zionists that are behind all this. And they themselves, Fauci and Birx, are Talmudic Jews. No matter what they tell you, that's who they belong to, that tribe. But they're not the alpha wolf type. They want you to think that they are, so that if you get rid of them, you'll get rid of the problem. But they're just the face. They're just the criminals that will take money and do whatever they're told. And that's what the alpha Zionist Talmudic communist Jews want. They want the weaker Jews that will take money and become the face, so that you will take the brunt of your anger and put it towards them, thinking that if you get rid of them, you get rid of the problem. Well, you got to go follow the money trail. Anybody that's wise, you got to follow the money trail all the way up to its source. That is the root of the tree of evil, as Henry David Thoreau was talking about. So for every 1,000 whacking at the branches of Birx's and Fauci's of the world, there's only one going up that root past the Rothschilds and the Soroses to the root. Find the financial root of all the machinations going on in the world, and you will find the root of our problems. 1 Corinthians 14:33, for Yahweh God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Right. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, but test everything and hold fast what is good. Now, I've used this verse to try to educate some of our people over the years about having an open mind. We have a lot of people in our circles that are very closed-minded, almost dogmatic. They're almost as bad as the mainstream churches and their religiosity, their ritualism. So in identity, we have the same kind of people walking around. And I've tried to tell folks, this verse right here verifies what we've always said. You should test everything. You should hear everything and test everything, and then hold fast what is good, what fits with your spirit, within your spirit and your gut, and also with the evidence that you have accumulated in your lifetime and the opinions of people you trust. But you keep your mind open. You should be willing to discuss any topic. One of the big red flags I have amongst the brethren today is when somebody tells me there's a topic I'm not allowed to talk about. Now, that's me personally. Maybe you have a different set of values, but I personally take offense to when somebody tells me there's a topic I'm not supposed to talk about. I take great offense to that. I may not say it in order to keep fellowship with the brethren, but I'm going to tell you, deep inside, that's a huge red flag to me. That's one reason I'm no longer on Eurofolk Radio. Because there were 2 strikes against the folks that run that station that I had, and it was over this very issue. You do not, and I don't care who you are, you do not tell me what I can talk about or what my information is, whether you agree with it or not. You do not tell me any more than I tell you. Because if you can't handle a disagreement with a brother, then you have a problem. You have a serious problem. Because none of us agree on 100% of the issues of the day. None of us do. So if you can't get over some point of discussion or point of controversy and maintain our fellowship as brothers, then you have a problem. You have a serious problem. And it needs to be addressed. Just checking to see if I got any notes here. Hold on just a second. Okay, very good. Thank you, Ella, about the music. So remember to keep an open mind, okay? In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting at verse 13, we're told that for such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. Amen. In other words, there'll be a lot of folks out there pretending to represent Yahshua or Yahweh, trying to get you to buy something, whether it's an idea or a product, whatever. There's all kind of deceiving people out there. Matthew 10, verse 16, behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Yeah, he did send us out amongst wolves. And some of these wolves have sheep's clothing on them, as in these Talmudic Jews who look white to some people, those of us with discernment, not so much. But for the young people coming into the identity knowledge, it's a little harder to discern. But with practice, you can discern facial features, you can discern certain body language, you can discern certain attitudes, you can discern the look of the eye. And it's not just for these Talmudic communists, it's also for the traitors amongst our own kind. So Yeshua sent the disciples out amongst wolves, and there's wolves of every kind of stripe out there. And you have to be careful. You have to have, quote, discernment. Because you don't want to cast your pearls of wisdom, your pearls of biblical knowledge and who we are, you don't want to cast that valuable information in front of pigs or swine, meaning people who are not of your kind and not of your faith, because they're just going to tear you with it. They're going to make fun of you. They're going to try to get you to lose your job, lose your home, lose your bank account, whatever. Because they don't agree with it. That's why Christ said, don't be wasting your time with such people. See, that's an indication that everything is lying and the mainstream churches are full of crap. Because what do they teach you? Well, then God loves everybody. You know, Jesus, he just put his sandals on and let down his hair and he just carried flowers and posies with him and he just loves everybody, Dan. Just love, 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 you know. Just come on in, everybody. Now, that's what the church teaches you, where the scripture makes it quite clear that Yeshua was none of those things. Very masculine, very strong, and he did not just love everybody. He went into the temple and formed a whip to beat the money changers out of the temple. He had nothing but utter contempt for them. He had nothing but utter contempt and disdain for the Pharisees and Sadducees, who were the Jews of that day, the Antichrists. He had nothing but contempt for them. The only people he showed mercy to were those who repented. Those who repented and came back to the flock of Yahweh's people. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear or reverence of Yahweh God and find the knowledge of Yahweh. Okay? Seek it as you would the world seeks silver or the things of monetary value in this sick mercantile world that we live in. Okay? Seek it out as they do, but what you're seeking instead is something far more valuable, and that is the understanding of our Creator. Because folks, think about this. He created this world, so would it not be His laws and rules and commandments and statutes that apply and can make your life better and the life of all of us on this earth better? Or do you think it's up to men to decide, well, I'm going to take this type of peach and I'm going to make it a hybrid with this other kind of peach because I'm not satisfied that Yahweh's made Bartlett pears different than these other pears. No, I'm going to make a new pear and I'm going to bring them together because I'm too lazy to go pick a Bartlett pear and then go down the road a piece and get another pear. I'm going to make a tree that has both pears together in one. Really? You got to be kidding me. I've said it many times. Our laziness is our downfall as well. How many things do you buy today that are seedless? Because you're too lazy to deal with the seeds. Okay, you think it's a great thing they produce something that's seedless. Let me give you a clue. If it doesn't produce a seed, it's not real. It's a hybrid or even genetically modified. Seeds are a natural thing. And if you don't have seeds in it, it's not natural. Therefore, it's not good for you. I don't care what you think. Why don't you just learn to deal with the seeds, okay? It's not that hard. Okay, I've had plenty of grapes and cherries and figs and dates and things like that that have seeds in them. So what? If they're small enough, you just chew them up. Fruit seeds have, I can't think of the acid that's in them, but it fights cancer. Apricot seeds, if I remember right, are the highest of all fruit seeds in this acid that will help fight cancer. So if they're small enough seeds and chewable and you can handle them, chew them up like apple seeds. I eat apple seeds when I eat an apple. I get the seed out of there and I eat it. Yeah, it's a little bitter, but that substance within the seed is good for you, extremely good for you. So again, we're throwing away what Yahweh put here to help make us healthy, the seeds, which also grow us more food, by the way. If it's seedless, you got to keep going back to the store, which means you have to have their money. And now we're finding out you have to obey their social systems, such as credit scores and vaccine passports, etc. You see, you're setting yourself up for failure. You're setting yourself up for enslavement. Simply because you're too lazy. We were all taken down that road to enslavement and the New World Order through convenience. Everything that you've got that entraps you and enslaves you was sold to you as helping eliminate turmoil or labor, or it was a, quote, convenience. You heard the old adage, the road to hell is paved with what? Convenience. The road to hell is paved with convenience. One last verse here. We'll go with James chapter 3, verse 17. But the wisdom from above is first pure. Again, wisdom that comes from Yahweh our Father is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. One more. I got to have one more. Proverbs 18, verse 15. An intelligent heart acquires knowledge or truth. and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge or truth. Same thing. So an intelligent man, a wise man, a prudent man acquires truth, not just information, but truth. That's what it's all about, truth. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. These are perilous times. Now is when the righteous must stand firm and have the wicked flee. These creatures that believe they are our masters instead of our public servants, they're going to do all manner of unspeakable things here because this is the end game. That's why they don't care about whether you like what they do. They don't care about the information coming out about their criminality because, let's face it, nobody has held any of these monsters, these miscreants, nobody has held them accountable for a very long time. That's why, again, the prophets told us the world is in travail waiting for the sons of Yahweh to be manifested, which is a biblical way of saying, hey guys, get off the bench and get out on the football field and play. The other side is on the team, on the field, and they're going up and down scoring touchdown after touchdown, and you guys are still sitting on the bench with your helmets sitting beside you. It's time to strap on the helmet and get in the game. Resist evil with all of your heart, mind, body, and soul. Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this platform. We just pray that your words and wisdom and truths will get out to our folks. We pray that those who are seeking remedies would seek you out first. You are the author of all truth and all healing that's on this earth, whether it's through naturopathy or allopathic. Healing comes from you, Father. Truth comes from you. And the sooner our people realize that all of this nonsense on this earth is because we worship men. We fear and give reverence and allegiance to men and men's laws when we should be giving it to you. We belong in a theocracy with you as our king and no other. And people argue about that, Father, but we just pray that that simple truth will finally permeate the skulls of our people, penetrate their hard hearts, pierce them through, that they need to know that you are the author of our lives here. You are the creator of this world that we find ourselves in. These laws of nature, we call it, are your laws. And if we would repent, rethink, and just simply toss out all of these man-made systems and laws and regulations, throw them away, man-made banking, man-made religion, they are all tools of the wicked one. Help us to see this simple truth so that we can cleanse ourselves and come back under your authority and your rule. Give you our worship and our obedience, and turn away from these wicked, and pick up our swords and be ready to defend ourselves and to go after those who commit these crimes. Give us strength and courage in these latter days, Father. Give us good discernment. We ask and pray all these things in the name of Yahweh. Hallelujah.
Some people hate me cause of words that I sing. Some people hate me cause I'm doing my thing. Some people hate me cause of words that I say. That doesn't stop me, gonna say them anyway. Some people hate me cause of thoughts that I think. Some people hate me cause I don't like to drink. Some people hate me cause I won't live their life. Some people hate and they don't even know why. Some people hate cause they just won't understand. Some people just ignore the laws of the land. Some people hate cause they don't know how to love. Some people don't acknowledge God up above. Some people hate and say there's folks hating them. And so they vilify, coerce, and condemn.
Some people hate because it's all that they know. Don't wanna hear that ye shall reap what ye sow. Because there's money to make. Their faces on TV, the action news break. Just for a moment, if they'd open their eyes, they'd understand and they could see through the lies. They demonize, they ridicule and berate. They show contempt before they examinate. They say they're righteous, but they live like a sleaze. They lie and slander and they do it with ease. It's up to us to show the others the way. Set the example, we can do that today. Show all our countrymen we've nothing to hide. We've got the Constitution on our side. Next time you're told that there are people to hate, to know your foe you must investigate. You just might find out somewhere somebody lied. You could discover that you're on the wrong side. Sometimes we all have got to swallow our pride. We've got the Constitution on our side.
Come alive, come alive, about of the ashes that is. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. I have seen him in the watchfires of 100 circling camps. They have builded him an altar in the evening dews and damps. I have read his righteous sentence by the dim and flaring lamps. His day is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Oh, glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. I have read a fiery gospel writ in burnished rows of steel. As he deals with my contemptors, so with you my grace shall deal. Let the hero born of woman crush the serpent with his heel, since my God is marching on. He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Oh, glory, glory, hallelujah. Truth is marching on.
pyramids. He flies from Rome to Washington. He flies for all the world to see this image of apostasy. He was chosen son, the devil's number one. Turn away from the eagle, turn away, turn away from this image and this idol. Turn away from this proud and lofty wicked beast who leads this world astray. Turn away from the eagle, turn away. He strives to build his nest amid the planets, among the stars. He's left his mark on the lunar soil, among the monuments of Mars. Like a breach inside a wall, his pride will cause his crown to fall, and he'll come tumbling down just like a house of cards. Turn away from the eagle, turn away, turn away from this image and this idol. Turn away, turn away from this proud and lofty wicked beast who leads this world astray. Turn away from the eagle, turn away. Thy kingdom come. Don't wait too long, too late to learn.